Michael, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, one thing that we have not done is play Twister.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I forgot about Twister.
Yeah, we've got a...
is Twister legal? I was just thinking about, like, doesn't it seem like just like a real gross way to grope?
In a world where Twister is outlawed, only outlaws will play Twister.
Only the absolutely twisted. only twisted from Slipknot will be... It just feels like a way that, like, as a kid, that was the closest way that, like, my genitals got close to people.
I'm just like,
in general.
Oh, I fell over. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't doing that, but it just kind of happened naturally just through playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And that's how it was always marketed as this kind of like sexy 70s. Like, what if we get some genitals close to each other?
Yeah. It's like a 12-year-old's version of a key party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dice Storm 3.
Yeah, no, I don't think that Twister has been given the lawn darts treatment. However, now I've got this here, and if this is illegal, then I am especially cool. No, I put down the Twister pad, and you know, the different dots have different games that we can do, and I figured I would just kind of spin this and give you some commands, and we'd see where you fell down. You know,
that sounds good.
Yeah,
I enjoy falling down.
Okay, so I'm just going to give this a spin. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so let's see. Right hand red.
Okay.
Ah! Oh, no, Gary! Oh, your back shouldn't do that.
Yep.
Oh, man. Can you... Okay, I'm just going to rub your feet there, buddy. Can you feel them?
No.
Oh. Doctor? Fuck.
Keb. Sup. Reb, Nig, Rob, Lib, Bob. Of course, we're doing Earthworm Jim.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't have the, that's nothing. This is my name is Gary Butterfield.
My name's Cole Ross.
And this is After Suffering, the show where we play bad life.
Where we live poorly.
Where we live poorly, so you don't have to. This is a very special episode of After Suffering, where we wanted to talk about subtitled Our Changing Bodies.
Yep. We're going through the change.
We're going through the changes, we wanted to talk about, instead of games...
Gary, I haven't menstruated for 30 years.
Man, you might be due to have, like, a Bailet baby. Like, you're going to squeeze a Bailet out of the front of your dick. It's going to be goodbye, Band of the Hawk. Hello, bouncing baby Bailet. look who's talking now.
Why are we doing this?
This is... I just recently had an injury I wanted to talk about and couldn't think of a good way to do it. I didn't want to give a game short shrift.
Right.
And I figured we could probably find digressions from talking about all the ways our bodies are failing us.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So, I mean, like, and also, like, you haven't really been in that great of a position to, like, sit at a desk and play a game. Like, we have, you're better. You're getting better now. But
yes.
Like, it's been really, really rough. Right.
Yeah, I'm on, like, now is, you know, coming up on 3 weeks of being impacted by this and have not been able to really, I can play some games standing with a controller, but like sitting down and doing assignment play has been difficult.
So
for me,
I'm kind of embarrassed at how leisurely our jobs are. Imagine being so injured that we could not do them.
Exactly. Like, it is essentially, I could do this as a head in a jar with like certain connections to my brain.
Right.
Hooked up. Like if you were to put an Oculus... You know, an Oculus helmet on me.
Uh-huh.
And I could still turn my neck.
Yeah, seal you into a Darth Vader casket. Like, it'd be fine.
Yes, I could probably do a lot of my job.
Yeah.
My job is extremely easy, and yet I still have been unable to do it.
Yeah.
For 3 weeks.
Gary, what happened?
Yeah, so and people who follow me on social media probably know this, but I also wanted to mention it for people who don't, because more people listen to the show than actually are involved in our social media channels, mm-hmm. Who might wondering, you know, some things came out late on the network, like Heartbeat City took a break, things like that, because I injured myself real badly. I injured my shoulder. I've got narrowed down to two equally exciting possibilities.
Ooh.
It either happened in my sleep, just from sleeping.
Cool. I hate that. God, I fucking hate that. Like, hey, Cole, why can't you turn your neck? Oh, yeah. Sleeping, that thing we do automatically, I did it wrong.
How can you sleep wrong? Like, if you can sleep wrong, you can do anything wrong.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no limit to how far you can fall.
Everything can be bad. It was either that or being overzealous with carrying groceries home. And took too many groceries and, you know, just had them hanging from my arm. Just, you know, that isometric exercise that is carrying a thing heavy at the, you know, the bottom of your arm.
Yeah.
And it was like a time delay thing, both of which apparently are possible.
But you've moved. You've moved recently. Like you definitely could have saved some face and said like, oh yeah, I you know, my eyes were bigger than my stomach. I tried to lift a box full of books when I shouldn't have, blah, blah,
100%.
Blah.
100%. I was twerking.
Yeah.
I could have said I was twerking. I could have said like, I was like, oh, you know, I like pushed somebody out of the way of a bus.
Yeah.
You know, I was lifting a woman to make love to her.
Yes.
Yeah. I was doing that kind of porn sex where you're carrying the other person.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just you were doing it wheelbarrow style.
Yeah. I was wheelbarrowing, you know, I was Eiffel Towering. Like there's lots of cool sex things I could have been doing. It's a weird corollary to me learning Portuguese too, where it's like, I'm just doing that for the dumbest fucking reasons and not, you know, cause I'm courting a Brazilian girl,
right.
Which would be the cool reason to learn how to say, hello, I have a small cat and I drink milk, which is like extent of my vocabulary, like right now.
Tengo un gato mínimo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, there's not a very, very, very few words I know how to say at this point, but I did that. So I woke up and you can actually hear the origins of this. And I wonder if people who are extremely, no one's astute. Uh-huh. Listening, but the first day when we recorded about Callahan's, I had to take that break in the middle.
Yeah,
if you remember, to like go stretch, and mm-hmm. I had to stand up while we were doing it because it was the same kind of thing. It was like this tightness and pain in my neck and shoulder and upper back,
mm-hmm.
my left hand or my left arm, and I was like, okay, after this, I'm going to go to acupuncture because that helped with my more pedestrian backache.
Yeah, and you talked about I forget if it was a premium episode or not, but you talked about going and getting acupuncture, and just we had a whole long thing about like, oh yeah, like just, you know, this logically shouldn't work but actually did, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it would help again with that, and I went and it was okay, and then the next day, which was Thursday, mm-hmm. then we'd record that on a Wednesday. We don't usually do that, but I think that's what happened. Might have been a Friday. It doesn't matter. The next day,
you lost track of time. So
yeah, I had a fugue state.
Yeah.
So the next day it was still not better, and I was like, I'm going to go to a chiropractor,
mm-hmm.
Which I'd never done before.
Right.
And so I went to that. There's a place called the Joint Chiropractic because I'm looking for like community places because I don't have hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Like I realized I've spent like something like $250 on woo-woo stuff, like essentially like trying to fix this through like chiropractics and acupuncture. Yeah. So, which is, well, helped, but
you've
like,
also gone and gotten like hard drugs for it too. So it's, yeah, like,
that's eventually when I turned to Western medicine, the last refuge of a scoundrel. And the chiropractor I want to talk to you about, because the chiropractor I talked to, definitely a vampire.
Okay. So like there are definitely only a handful of possible ways this would go. I told you, you might get lucky and get a Danny Aiello angel chiropractor,
mm-hmm.
like from Jacob's Ladder. No, you got a vampire.
He was not my angle. He was my devil.
Ooh.
Like diablery. He was some kind of pan-European accent.
Oh, no.
Like he looked like, I can't remember which actor plays him, but in American Beauty, the neighbor kid.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Who is that?
I'll take a look. I want to say Balthazar Getty, but probably not.
Something like that. Like this kind of like pan-European, like super dark hair, extremely deep set, dark eyes, monotone pan-European voice.
Man. When you do a search and you see things that are purple. Yeah, I definitely looked up American Beauty on this computer before. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah.
Deep set eyes, purple.
Yeah. Purple, deep set eyes. And just very like, you know, yes. Yeah, so if you look, and I can't do the accent, it was young. It wasn't, I was sounding like a vampire, you know, or a Russian, but he was, you know, showing you, and he thought this muscle I had in my neck, levator, saculae or simulae or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He thought it was this, and he's like, okay, well, you know, you're gonna have to come in like 3 times a week for the next month. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, yeah. That's a lot and expensive. But he said, like, you know, we're going to have you come in. We'll do some adjustments. Have you ever done chiropractics before?
I've been fortunate enough to not need it.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you lay down on the table and he like a lot of it's just him like putting his entire body into like pushing one part on your spine.
Okay.
And it feels extremely dangerous. Like it seems like it's going to be like break your back.
Yeah.
Like it's super scary. He did the best thing he did was he cracked my neck, like the way that, you know, they do it in Ed Wood.
Right.
Where she runs in there. And the way he did it, he goes, and again, vampire voice, better than I'm doing, he goes, "I'm going to distract you now."
No! Listen to the children in the night.
"I'm going to distract you now. Wiggle your toes for me." Okay. And I started doing it. And then as soon as I did it, like the fucking commando style, like neck break.
Steven Seagal'd you, yeah.
Steven Seagal'd me, like the loudest possible noise just in my head of all my neck bones cracking.
Yeah.
And it was fucking wild, right? But it didn't help. There's the thing, right? So like I left Vampire Man. He wanted me to come back and join their service.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like any kind of woo. It doesn't fail you. You fail it, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's what it was. So I go home. I'm feeling like shit. I either aggravated it or it was naturally going to feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it makes sense. It was not a bone thing. It was a muscle thing.
Yeah. The weird guy in American Beauty, before we move on, it's Wes Bentley. Probably more popular, more popularly known now for the Hunger Games movies.
Yes. Imagine him like maybe 10 years older than he was in American Beauty.
Okay.
AKA as old as he is now.
Right.
On the way back, I was going home. My back just felt like shit. So I took a bus. I usually make that walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
From there, I took a bus. Some guy on the corner was having a heart attack, and I called 911 for him.
What?
Which was also pretty crazy.
You were a hero. Gary, you're Spider-Man.
I paid for it. but yeah, and it sucked because I was in a lot of pain. I was like, I need to get home, you know?
Yeah.
But the guy's like, "Hey, I'm having chest pains. Like, can you call 911? And he's like grabbing his heart and stuff. He's like sitting down on a bench. I'm like, yeah.
Did you wait for help to arrive?
Yeah. Well, of course. Like I didn't, yeah. But that was, so that happened and I got home, lay down, and it was increasingly becoming the thing where if I'm laying flat on my back, it didn't hurt.
Right.
Or if I raised my hand, like if you raise your hand and try to touch the middle of your back, you know?
Yeah, if you're trying to scratch an itch, yeah.
Yes, if I did that, it didn't hurt.
Right.
So I'm like walking home doing that because it's the only way to do it.
To not be in such excruciating pain that other movement becomes impossible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get home, try like over-the-counter stuff. First day, I just like call the nurse hotline because I'm like, oh, this will just go away.
Yeah, yeah. Because it had before, like you've dealt with back problems.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like it's something that's been a chronic. This is the second time I've had any kind of treatment for it.
Uh-huh.
And the first time it was like therapeutic massage.
Right.
So it's not like a continuous medical thing or what I would classify as a medical thing. But I just like laid down that day, that Thursday. Friday, I was like, this is bad enough. I called my friend and said, hey, I need you to take me to urgent care. Like I have to go in somewhere.
Yeah.
Went in. They're just like, hey, this is a muscle thing. This could last anywhere from like 2 to 6 weeks. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, cause I couldn't do anything. Like I couldn't operate.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't work. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't be in my house. He's like, we're just going to give you stuff to treat the pain. And that's when I got all the serious pain. And then my 2 week long fugue state started. That was the entire first half of September.
Jesus. Like over your birthday and stuff.
Yeah. Too. I canceled my, hands down the worst birthday I've ever had.
Yeah.
And like, I don't say that to like fish for sympathy, but I was out of my mind, crazy and depressed, lying on my back.
Because you were a fucking prisoner in your bed.
Yes. I was born on the 4th of July. yeah. And again, like that's, I just want to say real quick, I know that there are people who just live like that all the time. Right?
Yeah.
Like
I'm not,
well, I understand I can have it way worse. Yeah. It got better. But yeah, so for 2 weeks, like we couldn't record.
Mm-hmm.
I took two showers during that time and like almost cried both times. Like it just hurt so bad to be up.
Yeah.
It was insane. I lost track of days.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what happened one day to the other. I didn't eat because I wasn't like moving.
Right.
No appetite. Like I had like multiple days where I just had a Clif Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the, you know, what's 10 foods you can eat lying down?
You know, not like, soup.
Yeah, not soup, not salad. Like I my body desperately wanted vegetables and I couldn't really do it.
Right.
You know, it was like nugget based foods and bar based foods.
all of the form factors.
Yes. I can jam strips and I can jam Clif Bars.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Which along with laying still creates other problems.
Well, that's the other thing too, is I felt like my back started hurting from just laying down on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way I could sleep. And I couldn't sleep very well because it would just hurt. And my back got very tender from just laying down on my back.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks. And they're just like being extremely lonely and depressed and bored.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah, I could play, I could lay, and as long as I could hold my arms up in front of my face, I could play Switch.
Right.
Or play phone games, and that's about it.
Right.
Watch things on my phone and look at Twitter and stuff. And that's it for 2 fucking weeks.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what day it was, like, a lot of the time in there, because I was on these drugs, on muscle relaxers and hydrocodone, which didn't, like, put me to sleep or give me a euphoric state. It just disoriented me and took, like, a little bit of the edge off. And my doctor, I was like, hey, I can't sleep, and these medications are not good enough. And my doctor was like, well, we're going to wait a couple weeks before we put you on anything stronger because of this opioid crisis.
Right.
And I just wanted to be like, my good man, I have no interest in being addicted to opioids either. You know, like, yeah. I'm not doing this because for funzos, because I'm trying to get a cool thrill.
This is not pill seeking behavior. Please, for the love of God, help me.
Like, I'm trying to advocate for myself as best I can from my bed. You know I need to sleep to heal this, and I can't. And for people who are astute followers of the network, you may know that I just got a kitten, which is, I feel like I catfished him. Like, I'm going to be able to exercise and we're going to be fun friends. Instead, I'm going to lay in a bed and kind of, like, vaguely yell at you every time you jump on my balls, which you're going to do constantly because I can't flip away.
Right. So because he's a kitten and he wants a companionship and he wants to move.
Yeah. He wants to move. He's got boundless energy.
Yeah.
And he loves jumping on balls.
Right. It's his favorite thing in the world.
He loves it. And it just became a thing where I would always have, like, a set of pillows on my lap as kind of like a cup.
Yeah. So you were guarding
his bounce house so he could bounce off that, and it would only hurt my balls a little bit. You know?
Well, he's also, like, over that time, like, he took the venom, right? Like, yeah. he's grown multiple times his original size.
Yeah, he's twice as big as he used to be. So he's like Bane. he's twice as big as he used to be. So these ball hits are hurting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And he was also, like, mad because I wasn't, like, scooping his litter as much as I did that a couple times too, just because I had to.
Right. That involves getting down and, you know, bracing in almost like a 3-point position. Like, it's not great.
All kinds of positions that are not healthy to be in.
Right.
For me. And the way to, if you can visualize it, and this was true before I even went to the chiropractor, if you take your arm and you just shrug up one shoulder as high as you can.
Right.
That's how I was. Jesus. Like, my shoulder was hunched. So I was like bi-level.
Yeah.
And I kept, like, I'd wake up and I'd look in the mirror and just see it. And it just looked scary. Like, you know, like, my body is unaligned in a way that it should not be.
It feels profoundly unwholesome.
Yes. And the doctor thought was that, I tore a muscle, the muscle had swollen. It was pushing, like, a nerve ending. So it was touching my shoulder blade. So that's why if I held my hand up, it lifted your shoulder blade off of the thing and it would feel better. And I can't take anti-inflammatories because of another medical condition.
Right.
So that would have also helped if I could have immediately just started pounding ibuprofen.
Right. You know, so you can't just take, like, a standard anti-inflammatory. They have to put you on, like, extremely, extremely disruptive steroids, right?
Yes. Yeah. I took prednisone for 2 weeks. So it was just, bad scene all around.
Yeah, well, and the pain wasn't the end of it either. I'm sorry, sounds like I'm interviewing you. Like, I'm
fine. No. It's quite right. Yeah. We'll talk about Earthworm Jim eventually. there's no Earthworm Jim. So the pain was really bad, very depressed, couldn't move around, couldn't, like, do anything. Watched my birthday go by, missed a bunch of band practice, missed recording. So thank you to you for, like, taking up editing and stuff. For things, you know, while I was out, I really appreciate it.
No problem, dude. I would want, and I expect you to do the same for me when the same eventually happens,
which will happen.
Yeah,
like, that's the takeaway from this whole episode. It's like, we're all fucked. Like, there is no security.
Gary, before this happened to you, I didn't know that I would eventually die.
Yeah, I didn't know this could happen. Like, specifically, like, through no activity or no negligence on my part.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have, because of that previous back thing, I have, like, stretches I do. I understand that I sit for large portions of my job. Mm-hmm. I take regular breaks and do stretches. Like,
yeah, like, so when people listen to a 3-hour episode of WAF,
hours of sitting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but what they don't hear is us, like, taking a break to use the restroom or to walk around or stretch our legs.
Yes.
That is built into this because specifically because that is hazard is a weird word, but it's the only way I can think of, that is something that you have to be mindful of or else it'll creep up on you. Right.
Yes. So it got maybe 15% better, like still really hurt. I still couldn't do anything. Like I took my second shower and I was like, oh, that was no good. Like, but it got to the point where I was so feeling so crazy. I was out of food, other than just like bars. And I was like, I need to go get like actual food.
Yeah.
So I walked to the grocery store. This was last weekend. I think this was Thursday. Thursday or Friday. I get up, I go to the grocery store across the street, and I'm like walking like the crooked man, you know, like I'm not, I know that my posture is very weird. I'm kind of walking with like a lilt.
Yeah. Like if somebody, you know, coming the other way is just measuring your gait, they're giving you a wide berth.
Yeah,
because you look like basically Vincent,
a Charles Dickens villain.
Yeah. You look like Vincent D'Onofrio's character from Men in Black toward the end. Yeah.
Yes. And I kept trying to like stand up straight, you know, because I was just like, okay, that's probably better for me.
Yeah.
I kept doing that. I go to the grocery store. I get all my stuff. I get, you know, a bag of things. I'm carrying it. And I felt, and I want you to really picture this and take a moment to picture it, a muscle in the top of my shoulder just slide down. Like part of the inside of my body. If you take like your hand and just push it down on your shoulder blade, like something just fell.
Just something like a sensation abruptly reminded you that your body is just multiple layers of sheaths for various different things. Yeah.
Cords and like, and I'm an idiot. Like everything I know about anatomy, I learned from the opening credits of Westworld. I don't actually know anything about the human anatomy.
Yeah.
Other than this, I just know that it's all a big dumb mystery and I hate it. And like, I like desserts and orgasms. Those are good things about bodies. It carries my burden around. Everything else sucks.
Right.
I don't like farts or shits or back pain or any of that stuff. So, it just, something just fell there and I just like felt better. Like I wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, like the neck, my shoulder still hurt a little bit, but all the neck and back stuff kind of cleared up.
So something fell into a more true alignment.
Yes. Something that had been like pushed up through like inflammation had just gone down enough to like slip back down.
Yeah.
Which then introduced phase two of this, which I'm currently experiencing.
The numbness.
Is amazing waves of numbness down my entire left arm.
Yeah.
That are like intense enough to make me like vocalize. Like it just feels very intense. Like I'm being like almost shocked.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, so you think, okay, pain, that is as bad as it can be. That is as alarming as things can be. That is true. Numbness is how your body tells you a part of it is dying.
Well, right. And it's the left arm. So I'm like, well, shit, hurt. Right. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I have no other symptoms. Like I talked to my doctor, like, it's like, no, this is just nerve.
Right.
From the thing or nerve, you know, leftover stuff. But like, you're waking up and just having like, you go to reach for something. And my left arm is also incredibly weak.
Yeah.
I keep dropping stuff. I dropped a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I dropped my houseboy's coffee cup.
Oh.
And broke the handle off it. So
yeah.
I'm bummed out about that. But yeah, I can't do anything with my left arm. And I'm so used to like, I'm right-handed. It's my staging arm.
Yeah.
So its entire job is to hold things while my right arm does things to it.
Right. Right. Or like, your actual job, which is partly to play video games, yes. A lot of them involve hitting four particular keys, W, A, S, and D.
Yes. Or even just with a controller, which is I'm better at, but can still be very difficult. So that's where I'm at now. Since about like last Thursday, like I can't type. I've gotten better at sitting. For a long time, I couldn't sit. It was like stand or lay down without it. And I can't type, but it's getting better. So I have hope that like by the end of this week, I'll be able to type. Without my arm just going absolutely fucking ape shit.
Mm-hmm.
But just you know, dire warning to everyone out there. Like I've told this story before when I worked at Fred Meyer, and I worked in the back in the shipping containers, and I was lifting a thing, and a guy just told me, you know, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 30. And he goes, someday in the future, everything's gonna hurt. Like I've told you that before, right? Like you're just gonna hurt for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this old guy told me that, and I was like, oh, it's me from the future. He's right.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a funny, weird story, but he's actually correct. And it was a dire warning that turned out to be true.
So I think that is absolutely a case where old people cry wolf. I think that there is definitely something that people who are older than other people do, which is, I resent you for being young and vital. So I'm going to try and fill you with dread to make you, no, I don't know. There's no real goal. I just don't want you to feel as good. I don't want you to feel good. I want you to feel as bad about this as I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that happens with tons of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people who just get mad at other people being like, you know, enjoying something.
Yeah.
you know, it's an expression of that.
And so when somebody says, like, hey, eventually everything is going to hurt, you think, all right, old man. Yeah. And I bet you walked uphill both ways to school in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you're going to take this, you know, fucking credenza I'm loading into your car and fuck you, piece of shit. you old dusty old skeleton. Go to hell, you know?
Dusty old bones full of green dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go fuck yourself, old man. But I owe him an apology because he's
cool. Right.
The, And it sucks. It's scary. And yeah, I don't like it.
Their all is aching.
Their all is aching. Yeah. Continuously. So that's what's been going on with me. I wanted to talk to you about this thing, though, because you got into your car accident.
Yeah.
And we both had the fun experience. You gave me the great pro tip of, like, taking laxatives during this, because my shit experience for the last 2 weeks has been amazing. In the way that, like, Godzilla might be amazing, or, like, you know, World War II was amazing.
Yeah, like awesome in the sense that it inspires awe.
Yes, it has inspired awe. Because twice. And it's been...
twice. Gary, please, more information.
Just twice. But each time has been like a day-long marathon.
Right.
Like, I just go through, like, you know, because you take muscle relaxers and it slows down your guts.
Yeah, well, and like, also like Vicodin or, you know...
Yes.
Yeah, like any of that. Like, there are, you know, again, because of the aforementioned opioid crisis, if you watch a standard network television, a very frequent commercial is for a drug that is specifically marketed toward people who are on painkillers to make them poop regular.
I didn't actually know about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like it's specifically saying, you're on opioids because our society is fucked. You need to poop or you're going to pop like a tick. So here you go.
Die. I mostly know from Trainspotting,
yeah,
where, like, he gets off heroin and he has to take a shit in that really bad bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, I'm doing that. I'm treating it and just, like, nothing going, you know, mm-hmm, for the first week, nothing. And then I managed to shit one day. And just like multiple times that day, and it's, and like new smells, like it, yeah, has been, you know, it's a new thing.
Yeah. Like this is cascaded shit. Also, yes. also very much informed by the fact that your diet was disrupted and you were on purely strip bar and nugget shaped foods.
Yeah. And entirely things I could eat laying down, like the laying down diet, which is not going to like take off or anything.
Right.
And then again, another week. And then the second time where it was like, oh, 4 days, like four times today, because mm-hmm, it just worked.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is this how it is now?
Yeah.
Like, I know it won't be. I know it'll eventually clear itself out. But yeah. It's been wild, man.
Water finds its level. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a wild knock-on effect.
No, so for people who, you know, have tuned in recently or haven't listened to everything for the past 5 years, I had a car accident, which thankfully was not as bad as it could have been. A car accident back in 2013 totaled my car, ruined the bed that I was carrying in it because I was moving. You know, like I like bruised some ribs. Thankfully, didn't break it. There was no like internal bleeding or anything. But I was in tremendous pain because it was all just soft tissue injury that, like, well, we're just going to give you some medicine. And astute listeners will know that, you know, my particular form of anxiety related the way that my brain is hooked to my gut means that I poop incredibly frequently, and you know, just basically I get scared and then just immediately like, well, gotta squeeze that out because I'm gonna have to run pretty soon. So the last thing that I expected, especially in you know, a disrupted state where I was in incredible pain and therefore stress and also was in the process of moving, was that I would be stopped up, right? I would think of anything, I wouldn't be able to get off the toilet. And when I didn't poop for 10 to 14 days, it was like, well, this might require surgery.
Yeah.
until I eventually went and got on laxatives and was on those, and that way overcorrected, and I had to like balance it out with weird like stop pooping drugs until it was like back normal. It was like the old lady who swallowed the fly. Like I was just swallowing spiders and mongooses and shit, trying to get things back on true.
How many spiders can fight a mongoose to a draw? Yeah. It's like your YouTube video where they just like, you know, spawn all the fallout creatures to fight each other. Yeah. Like, what's a thousand mole rats versus one deathclaw, you know?
Yeah. It was just like that was the battle royale that was happening in my guts, you know? And so like, but you know, and that is, you know, you're like not being regular, you know, I don't mean to sound like Dr. Kellogg or whatever, not being regular, you know, it'll fuck you up. Like, it makes everything feel bad and wrong. So yeah. Like when you said, hey, I'm going to go see if I can get something hard. I was like, either get some laxatives or Postmates it, or have a friend bring you some. It's embarrassing, but you absolutely need to stay on top of this, because the last thing you want is to end up with some kind of like impaction, which is the real risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really ties into, like, it makes sense how they're related, because it's all part of us just being made of tubes.
Yes.
And stuff like being forcibly reminded of the engineering aspect of your body.
Oh yeah.
In any of those things. And it's so so fraught, you know, so fraught that any of those things can just go wrong. And like, when you say that lady who swallowed a fly, like, it is a constant balance of those things. Like, it is just so much maintenance and so little of it you have control over.
Yeah.
To keep this running, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it is a terrifying thought.
A huge part of your bodily infrastructure is dedicated toward maintaining homeostasis, right?
Yes.
Keeping a bunch of plates spinning, keeping a bunch of things in very delicate balance, right? God, I sound like a fucking, I don't know, like Eastern medicine guru or something like that. Something just starts wobbling too far in one direction. All of a sudden, there's an overcorrection. A muscle slips up over your spinal blade. You're not shitting anymore.
Yeah. Because of the thing to make that, even not even to fix that, because this was something that just time fixed. Like, the prednisone actually helped it, but mostly I just had to sit.
Yeah.
And the reason why that happened is so I could not, you know, weep when I like rolled over in my sleep.
Yeah. So, you know, like, I need to take this extremely disruptive medicine because, well, it might be good to shower so I don't get a bed sore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, exactly. Like, I smell like death.
Yeah.
Like, I smell like the sloth victim in Seven, you know, like,
yeah. And you know, because of the numbness, you can't raise your hand over your head, so you can't hang up the air fresheners.
Nope. Yep. It's just me lying in a pool of air fresheners, like Scrooge McDuck, like sad Scrooge McDuck diving into a bed full of pine trees. Yeah. Just in order to not smell like I haven't showered and I haven't changed the litter box in a week, you know, people kept offering to come over. I'm like, no, like, I can't be seen. I'm not fit for human consumption.
No. Like the caseworker the government assigns to me is the only person who should be
exactly
who should walk into this room, because they're going to be duly compensated.
And they're gonna wear like a plague doctor mask.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Like, Will gave me a couple supply drops, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew in my band gave me a brought over my birthday present and some food.
Mm-hmm.
That it was difficult to eat. He made some like bakeable macaroni and cheese, which is difficult to eat on your back. But
yeah,
I managed it. But yeah, it was very, you know, some people definitely helped me out, which was great, but, yeah, it sucked.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing and shitty. But the plus side, right, is it's amazing how, like, this doesn't make it worth it, right? Like, relief is a real feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I remember the first thing this makes me think of, and it's not a good example, but I think about, being a kid and, my shitty stepdad liking, Dennis Leary a lot. And watching his comedy special about, like, hey, I smoke and it's awesome because government can't tell me what to do because I'm Dennis Leary and I'm extremely unpleasant.
Yeah.
And
here's a song
and
about how I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I'm an asshole and I'm proud of it. Meh, meh, meh. I'm a fireman. Meh, meh. but just saying that, you know, people who don't smoke never understand the feeling of relief that you get from needing something and then getting it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's a dumb point. No one should smoke. But the, I felt so good when I could like go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could bottle it. You know, it was an amazing feeling. I just felt like so grateful to be like, hey, I'm walking down the block.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm going to the Red Box. I'm a god. You know, I'm going to watch a movie. Yeah, shit.
I'm going to watch Hereditary. Like,
yeah. Did you watch that yet?
No.
Oh, I got to watch it.
Fuck. My TVs are in boxes, dude.
I know. I just told you about that, but like, yeah. I need somebody else
to gush about. Yeah.
It. Yeah. But it was just like, I'm going to just like pick up a random movie and watch it. And like, just like a person, I'm going to do some person shit.
I can leave the house under my own steam because something you take for granted, you know, after you, I don't know, get your driver's license or just any number of steps, that you take for granted is independence and autonomy, right?
Yeah. Like, getting granted a freedom is something that kind of goes away
as
you get older. Like, you just kind of, you acquire all your freedoms by the time you're 25 and you can rent a car.
Yeah.
They have my freedoms. And then having something taken away and brought back to you, like, is a really good way to appreciate that freedom.
Yeah.
Like I cleaned my house yesterday and did laundry and it was awesome. I'm
That's
like,
great, right?
I turned into coal for a moment. I'm like, this owns. I love doing this. I'm just taking pleasure in like putting things in places.
Yep.
I lifted up one small object and put it into another location. I love it
Yeah.
because
Oh man.
I'm a nerd, and I just like it was really awesome. I saw how the other half lived for a moment, you know.
No, I mean, so like it's that independence thing, like you just I don't know, it is a real I don't know, kind of like basic, oh, you need to try and be grateful for something every day, but like you come by it every, you know, mm-hmm. like you know, intermittently and in your own particular way. For me recently, you know, so my grandpa passed away earlier this year. Prior to that, you know, it was many, many years of just watching every single capability that he had slip away,
right? Yeah.
Until he was eventually put into a home and people had to bring him food. And ultimately, you know, the thing that did him in was, you know, the second he was left alone, he just wanted to get up and walk to the bathroom on his own in a way that he had not been able to. And he fell and that was it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and so me watching that, like that has been my particular flavor of this, you know, terrifying. Of like, you know, recognizing the things I take for granted. Right.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, like I took a class when I first moved out, I was in community college about like the elderly, like taking, you know, preparing for the elderly, like living as an elderly person. I can't remember the actual discipline the class was in. It was like a community college class. It was something I probably took for gen eds or whatever. Actually, I think I was doing like a education certificate thing. I think it counted for credit for that. But regardless of which, they talked about that. And it's like a well-known thing that like one of the reasons why seniors, like there are a lot of accidents involving seniors is because they're reluctant to give it up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that King of the Hill episode about that. Like just that feeling of all those things that you were granted being taken away one by one and you being deconstructed as an individual. And just that being an arc that everyone is on.
Yeah.
You know, just having that preview of that end and grappling with that.
I've been driving longer than you've been alive. What gives you the right to take that away from me?
Yeah. You know, and not just you, like being the government or whatever, also just cosmically you.
Yeah.
What gives anything the right? Why can this be a right that can be taken away from me? You know, I just like understand that in a very visceral way, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Man. Well, yeah. I mean, all that I've been thinking, you know, during the time that you've been down has been, I hope my friend Gary feels better because this sucks.
Yeah.
The other thing is like, oh, well, how fortunate are we that we're in a position where you can afford to be down like this?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Somebody can pick up the slack. Like if you were working in a wage job and you just like, well, I can't come in. Well, fuck you, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know what I would have done if I worked at like a Target.
Yeah.
During this, like, I either would have, you know, tried to push past it and hurt myself much worse, you know, or would have just lost that job, you know? And that's another like part of this that is just eye-opening too, is like, how shitty is it that people have to regularly, through no fault of their own, have to make that choice?
Yeah.
Like what a garbage country. Like what an absolutely garbage country.
It is fucking dire. It is, man.
We do not. Like the whole idea that we just think that when people, you know, that kind of thing is contextualized just as being like a failing and somebody's fault and nobody, you know, that's not our problem.
Yeah. The second you stop being useful, well, you should have planned for that, you dumb piece of shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you should have, you know, plans to get another job and several months worth of savings in case nothing, you know, in case you do nothing.
Right.
In case you go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, this thing you do every day in case it just happens to be like, oh, you actually slept really well and you were just on your arm.
Yeah.
You know? I hate it.
Yeah.
Like it is just I was surprised by the rich tapestry of realizations and appreciations and annoyances.
Yeah, just
and the kind of things that came from this.
Just what this one experience, lengthy and miserable though it was, revealed, right?
Yeah. In multiple different spheres.
Yeah.
You know, thing. So like this is another reason why I wanted to talk about it too, is just like, you know, thanks to everybody who supports the network, because I get to do this. I didn't have to quit a Target job and you know, starve to death in a ditch. Because of this.
Yeah.
But also just like, you know, I hope everybody who's out there is like able to, you know, I wish everybody luck on this shitty curve that we're all on.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I wanted to do this just so there was a public record of just how many fucking favors you owe me.
That's fair enough. Like 100% fair. Like I definitely owe some people some favors. Like people are very nice, to me. So I really appreciate some people in the Slack, you know, hooked me up with some money to do like Grubhub so I can order lay downable foods and didn't have to exclusively eat bars. It was very nice of everybody. So thanks everybody for that.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Doug Leaf put that together.
Yeah.
So thank you, Doug.
Yeah.
And
you know, obviously I'm kidding about you owing me favors.
No. But I mean, it is a thing where it is, you know, you never want to, it's hard to ask for help. Like it's hard to be put in a position where you have to actually call in that kind of stuff, you know, but it's good to have people out there, you know, who can, you know, that if something happens, like it's like, well, this is, you know, I have to call in something, you know, this is the time for that.
Yeah.
So fucking A, man.
Yep, man. Well, I'm happy you're getting better. Like it's been rough.
I've been very happy to, like, I'm very excited. I'm going to go to game night tonight and I'm just really excited to do it.
Oh,
like
man.
I'm
not
full capability, but just like, hey, I get to see my friends and be out at a thing and roll some dice. So.
rig up some kind of cup on your head so you can just like tilt down and roll the dice.
The cup on my head I'm going to use as my mouth. So I'm just going to chew them around, like just going to roll them around in there and then just spit them out into like a some kind of D&D spittoon.
Yeah.
Or flagon, if you will. And then just kind of look at them at the bottom of that.
Yeah.
The, because everyone's got a cup in their head.
Yeah.
You know? but yeah, very, very excited about that.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Well, and I don't know. I feel good just patting ourselves on the back for being so far ahead that like we can, like we're behind for us, but like that just means we, you know,
burn. We have to build up a cushion again.
Yeah. We need to build up a cushion again, but like we haven't recorded this show in 3 weeks probably.
Yeah.
And this episode's going to come out on early release right on time because
So yeah, we missed a couple early releases. I think, we might've missed a Guppy early release and, Heartbeat City. I have not recorded. The day I ended up going to Urgent Care was the day I was supposed to record that, with the guest, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit. So, you know, apologies for any of those kind of delays. I understand that like early release and just having access to the shows is part of the reason, some of the reason why people patronize us. Mm-hmm. I appreciate everyone's kind of patience and grace.
Thank you.
With that. So, and we will be back to, and also appreciate your indulgence on this kind of weirdo episode. We'll be back to regular episodes of the show next episode.
Yes.
So, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
And probably about it.
Think so.
Yeah. So thanks everybody. And until next time, I don't know.
Who is doing core exercises and stretches, dog?
Who's strengthening their core, dog? Like, I'm definitely going to be one of those weirdos who sits on one of those balls, I think.
Oh, that's fine. Just don't do it in public.
Yeah, I won't roll it down the street. I'm not going to roll it down to the restaurant. Like, I brought my own chair. You know, booth or table.
Oh, gosh. Like, you don't even realize this. You asked the wrong question.
Yeah, you asked the wrong question to the wrong person. I'm going to make you have a very bad day. We can talk about in your podcast when you get home, the weirdo who rolled in his cooking light. Hippity hop into the restaurant to sit down, just to catamari on up to the bar and get himself some nachos and